I found the theme of our song service tonight so fitting with what we will be examining tonight in Luke chapter 15. As we sung about tonight, the love of God. We're in this precious passage, precious chapter that has these three parables that Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people made up of two very different groups. One side, you have the Pharisees and the scribes who look down upon Jesus and others that are around them, saying to Jesus, "This man receives sinners and you eat with them." Luke 15:2. But on the other side of the crowd, we have publicans and sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, those who have the reputation of just boldly sin, boldly living against God's law. And so therefore, you can imagine in a society that's ruled by this religious elite that they would have been despised. But these publicans and sinners, it says in Luke 15:1, are drawing near unto the Lord Jesus. Why? Because they want to hear him. We're going to see tonight as Jesus shares these parables that he wants to draw the line clearly in the hearts of the people of this crowd. Draw the line between those who recognize their lostness and their need for Christ and those who do not see any need for him, do not see themselves as lost. In fact, they see themselves as doing just fine. The three parables are common to us. The first we looked at last week, and that is the parable of the lost sheep. Just a reminder of that, we'll read it in verses 4 through 7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goes after that which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." So just remember how we talked about, I saw how valuable it is to see what the shepherd left. The shepherd left the 99. Why? To go after the one. The 1%. The Lord showed great value. His priority system is seen. It is the lost that he has come to save. And the context of this crowd is very key to a right interpretation of these parables. You have these two groups of people. And clearly, those that are lost is pointing to the publicans and the sinners. They are the ones who that when the shepherd comes, they smile. They smile because here comes the shepherd, and though I am lost, he has come for me. They smile because they recognize their own propensity to go astray, and yet the shepherd has come for me. The Pharisees scoff. They don't smile, they scoff. Because look at this shepherd. Look at what he's doing and all the effort that he is going about to look for the 1% when he's got the 99, and they're the ones who've stayed put. They're not lost. What brings the Lord joy? It is the lost one being found. what is unique in each one of, or what is common in each of these three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, is that in each one, there is a focus on the one that is lost. The one that is lost. What brings the Lord joy? It is when the lost one is found. Pharisees and scribes, they didn't see themselves as lost. Publicans and sinners, they were drawing near to hear his words because they just might be ones for whom the Lord is searching. They realize they need what he has. And so they lean in. The second parable tonight is the lost coin. Look at it with me in verses 8 through 10. Luke 15, 8 through 10. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." You notice here the joy. You notice here the repentance. You notice the restoration. With the lost sheep, the one was found and restored back to his shepherd. In this parable, there is 10 coins. Now, there are very different views of the value of these 10 coins and what exactly they represent. But it is clear from these words of Jesus that this is what she possesses. This is what this woman has. She has 10 coins, 10 drachmas. Some have said that one drachma is considered one day's wage. Now, that's not necessarily a lot, but you think about it, a 10 days worth of wages for a woman in these days would have been incredibly important and valuable. So to lose one would be essentially she just lost 10% of her savings. Another perspective that I read about in my study is that this could represent the dowry of a Jewish woman, which at times would be represented by a headdress of 10 coins. And this is her dowry and would represent her value and meaning in this marriage relationship. It was to be kept together as a unit. And so therefore, if one was lost, it was an incredibly valuable thing to find it and restore it back to its unit of 10. But no matter, let's not get lost in what maybe these 10 coins are. Let's remember this represents what she has. And then we see one is lost. In this parable, what I believe Jesus is getting at and wants us to grasp is the diligence of her search. Notice the words of explanation that describe her search. She lights a candle. In those days, if she's a woman, perhaps even a widow by herself, she would have been fairly poor, would have had just a single room, dirt floor, very few windows, if any at all, a small doorway, and so there would have been very little light. She recognizes she has lost one of these 10 coins, and so what does she do? She does not just say, "Well, at least I have 9. No. Rather, she lights a candle so that she may see. She sweeps the house. she sweeps it. And now this is what being a dirt floor could have been quite a tedious task. Not only does she sweep the floor, but the text says, Jesus says, she seeks diligently until she finds it. Even implied in this is that she seeks in such a way that she is going to seek until she finds it. That's the attitude behind this search. A diligence. Now, for a publican and a sinner hearing these words, they would have come to understand as God opened up their ears that that's me, and that the Lord is very diligent to find his own. His own, those who belong to him, and let's get this straight, the Lord knows those that are his. He doesn't forget his people. He is the Lord of all wisdom, and he knows who are his. Even from the very foundations of the world, he knows. And so he is diligent in the search to find them. And so we see the publicans and sinners recognizing that the search is diligent. The attitude is, I will search until I find you. And so the question is this me? Are you talking about me? And so you can imagine the wheels turning in their minds as they recognize, I am a publican, a tax collector, hated by all my Jewish friends. But here's Jesus talking about repentance and talking about those that are lost. And I say, that looks a lot like me. And I see that the Lord, the shepherd, he left the 99 to go look for the one. I see the woman was diligent. I see the Lord is diligent in his search for the one that was lost. And as he closed this, the parable before, he so closes with this one, with the emphasis upon rejoicing. You see, restoration is worth pursuing. Getting the 10 coins back together again was worth pursuing, that she diligently searched. Repentance is worth celebrating, so rejoicing is worth sharing. And that is what these parables are emphasizing. Looking at verse 10, likewise, Jesus says, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Praise be to God. That is the attitude of heaven. That's the perspective of joy. That's what brings joy to heaven. It's not the smug and self-righteous and proud, but it's those who've recognized, I don't have anything to offer, but I recognize the Lord is searching for me, and so I come. I repent. I say, I am not worthy of you, but I recognize you have searched for me. And so I repent of my sin. And this brings joy to heaven. So restoration is worth pursuing. Repentance is worth celebrating. And so rejoicing is worth sharing. And you see, the shepherd calls his friends and says, come and rejoice with me. You see the woman call her friends and she says, come and rejoice with me. Listen, she wants her friends and neighbors to know what has happened. I have found it. And so the Lord, he rejoices. And he wants other people to share in that joy. This is something that I have sought to develop in my own heart. I realize at times that in my past, I have been callous to the work of God. And what I mean by that is when I see or I hear the work of God, it doesn't move me. I don't know if you've been to that point, But I have at times, and I'm seeking, and this is present tense, a work that, oh God, help me to be moved when I see you work. A couple of weeks ago, perhaps it's a month or two now, I had one of my children trust Christ the Savior. And this moves me as I think of one who has come and repented. A couple of weeks ago, one of our own shared with me that his grandson came to know Christ. And he's rejoicing that his grandson has come to faith. Just today, a great grandfather stopped me at the door and he told me through tears that his great grandson had come to the realization that he needed a Savior. And in through tears, he's rejoicing that God brought another member of his family to the kingdom. Oh, may God move us to share in this rejoicing. What brings joy to the Lord is when one lost is found, when a sinner repents. What moves you to joy? We have one more parable to look at, but we're going to save it for another time. It is the capstone, really, of this sermon, if you will, this session of teaching in the context of this diverse crowd. It's the prodigal son. We've been familiar with it. You've heard people called the prodigal, the runaway, the erring one, the one who has rebelled. But in that parable, we're going to see it. We're going to learn an incredible lesson about our God, about his incredible love and his incredible compassion. We're again going to be reminded that restoration is worth pursuing, that repentance is worth celebrating, and that rejoicing is worth sharing. And in this, a stern warning for those who stand idly by and look down upon the work of the Lord, who do not share in the joy. So tonight, what moves you to joy? May you hear the exhortation, may you embrace this truth, that what moves the heart of God to joy is when one lost is found, when one sinner is moved to repent. God, thank you for the joy and privilege of rejoicing with you. And tonight we rejoice in the work that you have done in our hearts and how you have moved us to repentance. And it's exciting to think about how that brings you joy. Help us as we move, go from this place. Remind us of our mission this week. And use us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.